is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at NTT Upgrade 2025 with Dr. Hidenori Tanaka. We're going to be talking about the physics of AI, a whole new unit from NTT Research. Dr. Tanaka, nice to see you.
Yeah, great to see you.
Would you like to introduce yourself and what you do?
I'm currently leading a group at NTT under the name of Physics of AI. I've been with NTT Research for the last 5 years, and we have been part of Physics and Informatics Lab. NTT has been supporting our really interesting, ambitious effort to create a new field of physics of AI from 5 years ago. My background is in theoretical physics. I did my PhD at Harvard, but during 2017, it was becoming obvious that AI is the next new thing, even before ChatGPT, so I started pursuing this field.
When we talk about the physics of AI, what does that mean? Because for most of us, physics is just science. It's something we know. It sits alongside chemistry, biology, and other sciences. AI, on the other hand, is a technology. So how do you bring the two together? What does it actually mean?
Well, that's a great question. And even the definition of physics is a really deep question. Last year, Nobel Prize in Physics went to AI, which has been doing it for 5 years. It's great that it's, you know, physicists, at least the Nobel Committee, thought it's physics. But that was a bit of a controversy among people. Is it really physics? Let me just explain what my position is. Where did physics start? I would argue that the beginning of physics was Galileo, who took the question at the time from philosophy. There has been this philosophical, religious view of the world, that the Earth is center of everything, universe is going around. But what turned the subject of philosophy into science, in particular physics, was this ability for Galileo to look at the star with a telescope, see how a planet moves around, and figure out that if we assume hypothesis that the Earth is rotating, everything that we observe is much more precisely explained. Galileo has this famous line saying, "The book of philosophy is written in the language of mathematics. If we don't use this precise language of mathematics, we are just lost in the labyrinth." This is almost the way I define physics as well. Some people say it's just science, everything. It's true that the physics doesn't define itself based on what we look at. It's always expanding from universe to engine, thermodynamics to transistor. We don't define ourselves by what we look at. Even though this wording of natural science of artificial intelligence sounds self-contradicting, I would argue that AI, unlike other technology, it's really a complex organism that we have built inside of a computer. It's like a neural network, like our brain, but then represented as numbers inside of computers.
Why would we not use biology if we're thinking about neuroscience?
That's a great question. I would say that these all come together. There can be neuroscience of AI that we are contributing to it. There can be psychology of AI, it's like biology of AI. But then again, what's beautiful about AI is that even though it's becoming really as smart, or in some cases smarter than us, we can get all the numbers that define the system with 100% precision.
But when we start to talk about defining a system, we're in a very deterministic state. If we're defining it, then it's an object. It has a set of behaviors that we expect, or we can map and we can learn. Behaviors that become repetitive, particularly if it's based on mathematics and physics and other sciences. But what we've learned with AI over the last 3-4 years is it's become anything but deterministic. So how do we square that off?
Well, that's an interesting discussion, because there is a perspective that we can also have about AI where it's not deterministic, in the sense that it's only predicting probability of what can be the next word. It's not saying if you repeat the same question to AI, exactly the same question twice, you get different answers. There's a knob that we can control. We can just sample sentence in a way that neural network AI always produce the highest probable next word, based on the data it has seen. That's like deterministic. But then again, in practice, we all use these more stochastic ones. We actually have a work where we studied how there's almost a fate of a text generation. Let's say you ask ChatGPT, generate life of someone, just describe the person, where they're from Japan maybe, born in 1980s, all of these things, and then ask ChatGPT to fill in the rest of the life.
Oh, but that's a very different thing, isn't it? We are building our AI on large language models. those models have a set of facts and objects embedded within them. And when we ask that question, we expect it to find that fact and bring it back. So if I ask it, what is the temperature of the Earth now? And then I ask it the same question 10 minutes later, yes, there might be a variance because we know that the Earth heats and cools. But if I ask it, how much money did my company make last year? And then I ask it the same question 10 minutes later, I should get exactly the same item because that's a defined object.
Oh, that's what you mean by deterministic. Yeah. Once it's trained, it's a single thing. That static, it just stops there.
And that's what we've been told that the LLMs are doing. They're taking that data, they're making connections between the data, and they're going to be able to deliver us those facts faster than we can do as humans, and just really escalate it to a new level of computing, a faster, more efficient type of computing. But the way we're seeing the non-deterministic part is much more human-like, which raises concerns as to, is it trustworthy? Can I use it in a business, or should I be using it to write a script for a television show? As you were saying, fill in what life would have been like for somebody. Well, we don't know exactly what it's like, but we can infer from these facts. We've not been told that AI is an inference system. So in your research, how are you balancing this?
So when you say balancing, just to clarify, when you say deterministic, you're talking about the fact that it's once it's trained?
In a business sense, yeah, it's been trained, it will do certain things, it will give me certain things back faster and more reliably. Yeah. In non-deterministic, it will infer things that might not be a fact at all. It might just be something that it has decided it thinks fits what I've asked for.
One key way to highlight how we operate and AI operate is that we humans have this level of confidence. As human, if we're asked to, let's say, create a fictional story, we can. But then there is a difference between whether we ourselves or AI themselves know whether they're hallucinating or not. As you said, there are research saying AI models just are not good at self-calibrating how trustworthy what they are saying. Fundamentally, when it comes to trustworthiness, it's always a race against human. It's similar with the self-driving car. The standard for self-driving car to replace human driver, it's reasonable to say if the accident rate is lower for the car than the human, it's impossible to guarantee that AI model never hallucinates. This touches a theme that I want to put out, that AI is an organism. It's a bit different from how the car works, how the watch work, or the mechanical machine that we build all the parts ourselves. It's an organism. And the way we define reliability, trustworthiness, is just like we define it for humans, as opposed to any other engineering product.
When we think about that, and we apply legislation, one of the challenges we have from legislation is people want to know how AI got to the solution. When we all go through school and we do mathematics, you only get one mark for getting the answer right. You get all the other marks for showing how you got to the answer. If I go back 6 years when we were on that switchover point from machine learning to early AI, the conversation was very much one of you could have a black box for AI that would work really quickly and give you an answer. Or you could have a very slow process where it showed you all of its working out, but you probably wouldn't understand it. With hallucinations, one of the challenges is people want to know, where did he get that information from? How do I correct that information? Something which with machine learning we focused on an awful lot in the early phases. Trustworthiness to most people comes in terms of, is that true? So when we look at legislation, we look at human expectation. How do we get AI to the point where we perhaps have two different worlds? We have an AI that delivers facts, works for businesses, is something that will show us how it got there, making up your credit score, things like this. And then another AI, which is much more creative. It's one that's more an imaginary friend than it is a system.
Yeah, that's an interesting contrast. I think we are already starting to see the contrast. In particular, creativity is interesting in human society. Creativity has, in many cases, trade-off. And then even as a person, there are moments when I feel I'm myself more creative than other times. I struggle sometimes that when I'm in the most creative mode, I create the most amount of trouble in whatever ways. Just to give an example, in early days of AI, what people told me who are building models is there is something called alignment tax. So when you first train the model, the model just tried to predict the next word using all the language that exists in the world, from books to websites. And after that, there is a process of fine-tuning where you try to give some discipline to the model. What some people told me at the time was that the model loses creativity after the process, especially if you, for example, ask the model to draw some picture using some program, let's say draw some like a unicorn. In the human language, what it's saying is if you go to really strict school, your creativity gets lost. That's the kind of trade-off that people had. That's still there, I think, right now. In comparing this fact-based accurate model versus creative one, if you go to ChatGPT or any other language model, there are two modes. One is to say use a web search. Here, you're using language model as a way to ask for this memory database, like a web, to connect your question to the existing information, like a website, talk to it. Another way to talk with ChatGPT is don't refer to anything, just pull all the information out of your AI brain and then talk. I would argue that just as a user, there's a trade-off. If you ask the AI to look at the web and then give an answer, you get what's already there in the web. But then if you ask to be free, I personally prefer this mode, actually. It's a trade-off in the sense that the fact that I'm getting might be incorrect in 1 in 10 times, but then the answer tends to be more interesting.
Which is interesting because one of the selling points for both machine learning and AI was always it will find information you don't know you have in your business. It will find new business models for you. It will find new opportunities for your business. If I'm simply using it to be a faster interface to an encyclopedia on the net, isn't going to find those. It has to have that creativity point. So it's a third way in between the two. How do we explain to companies that AI isn't this single object, it's this broad spectrum, and that they need to adjust their expectation to the spectrum? How do we get companies to understand that?
This particular subject, it might be useful to analogize with human. If you're running a company, it's not always a single kind of person that should do all the job. The art of collaboration is to have people with different backgrounds, different way of thinking, different capability to come together and work. It's really interesting, open question, I'd say. I have a hypothesis that personality having character is going to help. But we can see with AI whether these character really matters also in the world of computer. Because simple question that we can ask is, if we want to team up, let's say, 5 AI models, 10 AI models to do some task, should the team be constructed in a way that you just get single best model and then reproduce a 10? Or there might be even trade-off within the AI model, because being creative, if it's always being grounded factually, then it's interesting if even AI suffers from that condition. So these are the place where, as a physicist, I'm looking for almost like a unifying principle between how our brain might work and how AI work, not just at the neuron level, but more like a behavior level.
So you're looking for a unified theory of AI on a spectrum.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, because if I have a slider, I can slide it to the left, and if I'm running a contract department, I know that what it's going to give me is absolutely factual data.
Yeah.
If I'm in a marketing team, I can slide it a long way to the right, because I want it to take some facts, but I want it to create something new, something interesting. I like that idea of it being the unified theory of AI.
I also sit at the Harvard Center for Brain Science, where people don't just study human brain, but also monkey brain, mice brain, fly brain. As a physicist, I can't help asking this question. A, is there any unifying theory of intelligence? B, assume that might exist, where do they come from? I'm talking about fly brain, human brain, AI brain, it's all different hardware. But one perspective that I think about myself is to see that, okay, even though we, for example, run with different hardware, one is on the computer, GPU, the other is a biological web, cells, but we share the world. Whether it's AI, or whether it's a monkey, or whether it's mice, we share this environment that we are in the long term operating at, in the sense that right now AI models, it's reading language. I read language. AI model, language model read language. Vision models, I see cats, dogs. AI models see pictures of cats and dogs. I have to classify whether it's a cat or dog subconsciously, AI model needs to do the task. The point is, even though we don't share the hardware, the exact way our neural network is formed, we share the data, we share the experience between AI model and then in the future AI robots, humanoid.
How do we advance to that point? If I think back to some of the early conversations around AI, I remember IBM telling me over a decade ago that we wouldn't get AI until we could solve the problem of neural computing, until we could get the number of nodes in neural computing up to a very, very high level. AI wouldn't happen. Clearly AI has happened, and AI has jumped well ahead of our understanding of neural networking. Neural networking was felt to be that link between technology and the human brain, to be able to map the two. Yeah. With AI having bypassed that phase, and you were talking there about the neuroscience of different animals, where do we map AI in that? Is AI a continuous learning process where it's evolving in the same way as the human brain evolved from lesser competent or lesser complex animals to where we are now? Or is it taking a very different path to get to where it will get to?
Coming from physics, it's really interesting to see how the paradigm of neural network is almost orthogonal in some way to conventional scientific understanding. So what does understanding mean? First of all, the world, the universe is so complex. And then understanding basically means that, okay, we have to just translate how the complex world works in a language or in a form that our little brain is a little organ, it's not a massive supercomputer, but I still want to understand. So understanding, at least to human beings, we have to simplify a lot. We have to, almost all of our time of evolution, our brain wasn't evolving for doing mathematics or trying to understand laws of physics. It was evolving to run around in the jungle and climb on a tree and get some food, and then that's how our brain evolved. So our human brain is like animal brain, and understanding just means simplify a lot, ignoring a lot, visually representing at the level that I can imagine in a 3D space. So these are understanding. Neural network, on the other hand, in a way, ChatGPT understands how humans speak, understands in the sense that you can predict. In physics, this prediction and simplicity of mathematical model has been coupled. The simpler, more robustly predictive. That was a paradigm of physics. That's E equals MC squared. These are all simple equations that has strong predictive power. But what language model, neural network, has done in this world of complex system was to show that it has hundreds of billions of parameters and then can predict. This is a paradigm shift. In a single sentence, predicting complex systems, for example, how human speaks, doing that prediction was almost at odds with understanding. That's one explanation for why AI just bypassed all the understanding. Rather, what was important was to have the data, the right goal for the AI model to, let's say, predict the next word, and then have a big computer.
But predicting that next word is also a challenge. If we think about the evolution of language, just take the five major strains of English. Once we start to think about spelling, how language is constructed, the use of idiom, the root of words, which then spans multiple languages, not just English. We have an incredibly vibrant, constantly changing landscape. When we interact with technology systems, we tend to do with a very closed ontology. If AI is to start to understand in the way our brain works, it has to master language, which I'd argue very few people on this planet actually master in all the years they live. How does it begin to master that language? And in the same way as we as humans invent new words every single year and new meanings and new phrases, are we going to see AI start to do exactly that?
That was a surprise for many people. That's the most honest answer. When this current paradigm that has worked was a paradigm of scaling, make everything bigger, data bigger, neural network size bigger, computation bigger, and hope that it's going to not just mimic, but mimics at the surface, but then understands it, which was like crazy bet, which is against the conventional paradigm. Von Neumann, who invented the computer, once said, if you have more than three parameters, you can draw elephant and then make the trunk wiggle. The point was, if you have three parameters, that's too much for describing anything. You can overfit. But then the kind of belief that AI has empirically proven was that this act of prediction leads to, as a consequence, leads to understanding. As a physicist, even though I don't have any theory or formal proof about why just predicting the next word led to some amount of understanding that we feel by talking to AI chatbot right now, as a physicist, it makes sense that physics was all about understanding it to predict better. Understanding and predictions are paired in physics. That's what happened with ChatGPT, where predicting which word gonna come necessitates understanding. So if you have, let's say, sentence from physics saying, if let's say quantum mechanics textbook, you cannot just predict the next token without understanding what kind of context that the quantum mechanics textbook have. So the summary thesis is neural network wants to learn anything it's really asked for, and predicting the next word over the entire book from philosophy to physics to everything necessitated the neural network to learn, and that worked.
I'm very aware we're short of time, Dr. Tanaka, because you have a lot of people wanting to talk to you today. Let me ask you one last question. We've talked a bit about the physics of AI, touching on neuroscience, touching on biology. What's the one big question that you have that you want to solve?
I'm going to pick the biggest one. As I said, philosophy has been turning into physics as the technology evolves. That happened first about observation of the universe. And now it's starting to touch the ultimate question about, you know, what is the meaning of life? What is the goal of civilization? What the goal for society? How should the world look like? These are the most abstract philosophical questions where it had little to do with mathematics, modeling, etc. But then what's happening right now is that we are starting to engineer society without we think that way or not. I want to talk to, work with philosopher to ask these questions really seriously, translate what is a goal of civilization. And we already have a knob to tune. You can make AI model confirm everything you say, or you can make AI model to always give a critical feedback, which is going to affect how society, social cognition works. I want to ask a question of what's the direction that we should head as a society. Once we find that direction, from there, it's a technical problem of building it with AI.
Dr. Tanaka, thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.